You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A quick word about our resource of the month, and then right on to our phone calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, as just mentioned. Numerically, 888-275-4265, our contact information on the web, equip.org. And via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. At any rate, the resource of the month by Oz Guinness. He's a prescient writer. The book is titled Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. The American Republic, of course, is suffering its gravest crisis since the Civil War. We have conflicts and hostility and incivility, all of which threaten to tear the country apart. There are competing visions which have led to a dangerous moment of cultural self-destruction. And this is no longer politics as usual, but an era of political warfare where our enemies are not foreign adversaries, but our fellow citizens. And let me give the quote of the day and then go to our callers by quoting Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. And this is quoted in the book, Last Call for Liberty. Rabbi Sacks, in All Truth is God's Truth, says this: to defend a land, you need an army. But to defend freedom, you need education. You need parents and families and homes and a constant conversation between the generations to see that your ideas are passed on to the next generation and never lost. You achieve immortality not by building pyramids or statues, but by engraving your values on the hearts of your children and they on theirs, so that our ancestors live on in us and we in our children, and so on until the end of time. Again, the resource of the month available for those who support the ministry, a prescient book by Oz Guinness. Anything he writes, I read. I've had him on the Bible Answer Man broadcast many times, as well as on Hank Unplugged. His book is perhaps the best ever, Last Call for Liberty. It is an absolute must-read, and that's why we're making it available for those who support the ministry. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Ryan first, he's listening in Washington. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. I'm having some difficulty understanding God's foreknowledge, and it's actually caused some doubt in my faith, which I'm really concerned about. So I don't believe in fatalistic determinism. I'm not a Calvinist by any means. And so the other two options that I see available would be that God just has an innate knowledge of the future, which I don't find rational, or the future exists, which I don't find rational either. So I'm having a really hard time understanding.
Well, you know what's interesting about what you just said, Ryan, is that there is, in a sense, a problem with saying that God knows the future. And the problem is that God is outside of time, and therefore there is no future with God. God is omniscient, and as one who stands outside of time, as one who created time, he knows the beginning from the end. So when we use terms like future or beginning and end, we're using anthropomorphisms, we're speaking from the perspective of a human being, just as we would be if we're saying, God asked Adam and Eve, where are you? Or God was walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. We don't suppose that God did not know where Adam and Eve were, nor do we suppose that God has big feet. In the same sense, when we talk about the future, it's relevant to us because we are in this time-space continuum, but it doesn't apply to God, who is outside of time.
Well, and that's where I'm getting confused, because, like, is there a new me every day? You know, like, what does that mean for me? Is it an illusion where I'm at this day in time or this second in time? Is there an old me, you know?
No. I'm making a distinction between God, who exists outside of time, and you as a human being who exist within time.
Right, but that would mean that everything's already happened, and that's where I'm...
Well, no, it doesn't mean that at all. The fact that God knows does not mean that everything has already happened. And you can think about knowledge in a lot of different ways. So, for example, you can know what happened in the past with complete precision if you were an eyewitness to an event. But the fact that you knew about something with precision does not mean that you were the causal agent of what you knew about. With respect to God, the fact that God knows what is going to happen in the future, future again used advisedly, doesn't mean that the future is predetermined. No, your right. actions really matter.
Right.
And it doesn't.
I'm just confused because if each day exists from my birth to death or the end of the world, and that if God knows it, it seems like it's already happened, and where I'm at today is an illusion, basically.
No.
Or there's like I've heard like the earthworm theory, like you're a worm across the manifold of time.
There are a couple of things.
Lewis talked about.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I would say about that. One is I think that sometimes we try to explain things that are inexplicable. Meaning that many, many modern people refuse to live in the land of antinomy, in the land of tension. You know, how can we say that there is one God revealed in three persons eternally distinct? There's an antinomy there. We can try to explain it in human language, but still the tension exists. Or how can we say that God is completely unknowable in his ousia or his essence, and yet God is knowable in his energies, and certainly knowable in the incarnation and the person work of Jesus Christ. That's a tension, that's an antinomy that is very difficult to resolve, in fact, unresolvable from a human perspective. So we can give analogies for it, but eventually all the analogies break down. What we do know, though, is that all of our actions are actions that involve libertarian freedom, and therefore what we do really does matter. So from our perspective, you know, we can't say, I'm not going to wash my hands. If God wants my hands to be clean, he'll wash them with or without my consent. No, when your hands are dirty, you wash them. So our actions really do matter in time and space.
Right. And then I was looking into open theism, which I can't, the Bible clearly states that God does know the future. So I can't take that position either. So maybe I just need to look into things a little bit more and pray about it.
Well, pray about it, but also realize that there are antinomies. So there are things that are inexplicable from a human perspective. So we hold them in tension. But the one thing we know, and we know this through experience, is that our choices really matter. The choice you make tonight in terms of what you eat will matter with respect to what you weigh tomorrow. So you do have free choices, and those choices really do matter in time and space.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call and for pressing the issue. Good question. I've written about issues like this, including the whole issue of time. You know, what is time? Is there eternal time? timelessness? Well, that's an improbable notion in that physicality requires motion and motion requires time. What about an eternal present? No past, no future, only an eternal now. Stretched and perfect, that's incoherent and unlikely, and a distinction without a difference from the first possibility. So I think we have to think about endless time, which is analogous to time we presently experience it moment by moment, event by event. The future greets us in the present and then retreats into the past. That's our experience. God's experience and ours are very, very difficult, different, and we have to remember God is ineffable. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Stock markets may soar, stores may be packed, and the entertainment industry may hum with headlines, but don't be deceived. Radical anti-democratic movements are being fomented and funded on both the left and the right. Americans are angry at other Americans, strenuously struggling for what both sides believe to be the soul of the republic. Our society's conflicts are rooted in two rival views of freedom, one embodied in 1776 and the ideals of the American Revolution, and the other in 1789 and the ideals of the French Revolution. Americans must choose which view of freedom to follow. Don't miss Oz Guinness's essential new book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to the phone callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. John next in Richmond, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, John.
How you doing, Hank? My question centers around Matthew chapter 25. We've been traditionally taught, you know, it's faith alone, but I've been reading the Bible, and when I applied your model about the past, salvation being a past, present, future, it all made sense. Matthew 25 made sense because it seemed like the difference between the people that went to hell and the people that went to heaven is that those sheep on the, or the goats on the left were, it says, you did not, you did not, you did not. But when you talk about the sheep on the right that made it to heaven, he said, you did it, you did it, you did it. So the operative word was well done, good and faithful servant. So doing seems to be part of the Christian faith. Now, I understand now from your model is that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is talking about an unsaved person coming to the Lord, hasn't been saved yet. But when you get over to Ephesians 2, 10, now that they're saved unto good works, and which is related over to Matthew 25. When I applied your model, the whole Bible now makes sense. There's no contradiction.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, if you look at James chapter 2, James says explicitly, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. And what you have here is an indication of what's going on with this parable that Jesus Christ is telling. The works produced by faith are emphasized. Why? Because saving faith always produces righteous works. What we do reflects our true inner state. And therefore, we have hungry and thirsty people. The inner state of those who are genuinely redeemed is one that provides food and drink. And this is not just physical food and drink, because the implication of the passage is also spiritual. In other words, there are people who are hungry spiritual and people who are thirsty spiritual, and we need to provide them with what they require. I was talking to a Jewish man the other day, and a wonderful, brilliant Jewish man, you know, I didn't have any sense that I had to grab him by the lapels and say, brother, are you saved? But I did have the sense that God brought us together for a purpose. And when he asked questions, I was able to provide answers to those questions. And so I did the works of God and I fed the person that was thirsty. But that, again, is a function of an inner state of being. What you see in Orthodoxy is in the Orthodox Study Bible at Romans 6:23, you see a note, and I just looked it up as I was speaking. I'm kind of multitasking here. The passage, of course, is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. But the note says, wages are something earned. Thus, death is earned by man through his sins. Eternal life, however, again, this is the note in the Orthodox study, but eternal life is never earned, but is a gift. No human actions, no matter how good or noble they might seem, can earn eternal life, for it is only through the grace and love of God that everlasting life is given to us. But again, salvation isn't to be seen as a transactional situation. It's to be seen as a transformational situation, because actually salvation is taking you by the graces of God given within the spiritual gymnasium, the church. It takes us from one grace to another, from one glory to another. And that's really what deification is all about. I mean, this is transformation that not only takes place in this time-space continuum, but will take place for all eternity.
Right. Whether you believe that that is the great white throne judgment in Matthew 25, or it's the Bema seat judgment, it all seems, in every case, it seems to say they were each judged according to their works. And even John 5:29, those who have done good, resurrection of life; those who have done evil, resurrection of damnation. But in every case, whether believers or unbelievers being judged, it's always according to their works. Do you have any other final input on that?
Well, no, I think that's absolutely right. And I think that the problem oftentimes is that people try to set faith and works up against one another, juxtaposition one against the other. And that is not, I think, how you need to look at faith and works. Faith for the Christian should include good works, not because they earn salvation, but because they cooperate with divine grace, which does the work of transformation. So justification for the believer is actually being made righteous through the presence of God in us. And thus, while Paul preaches against the efficacy of the Jewish law for salvation, he does not preach against good works in and of themselves, nor does he hold good works, as I said, to be in opposition to faith. Let me move on to Chris in Ocala, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? First of all, I appreciate your ministry, sir.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask this question, and I'm going to hang up. But what do you think? I just wanted to get your take on having to be baptized to be saved. And I'll hang up the phone, but I appreciate you, and you have a blessed night, Hank.
Thank you so much. And I think what's important to realize is that if you are saved, if you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by hearing the gospel, well, you're never saved as a Lone Ranger Christian. You're always saved within a community of faith. So the Christian faith knows nothing about individualism. You become a living stone in the temple of God. And therefore, those who hear the gospel and respond are then baptized within the community of faith, and they receive the chrism within the community of faith. And therefore, they are now baptized in the sense of being buried to their old life, being raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. The old is gone, the new has come. And so you're baptized to an old life and you come up as a new life. But again, that new life doesn't entail individualism, but it entails the community of faith. In the Old Testament, baptism was always pictured by the passage of God's people with Moses through the Red Sea. In fact, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians. John the Baptist, the last prophet of the Old Covenant, baptized in water for repentance. You see that in Mark, I think it's chapter 1. And Jesus received John's baptism, whereby transforming the water in baptism itself. So in the New Covenant, baptism is the means by which we enter into the kingdom of God. John tells this to us in his third chapter of his gospel. So we're joined to Christ, as I just quoted from Romans chapter 6, and we are then granted the remission of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, this never happens in isolation. It always happens in community. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Doug in Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Hank, God bless you. And I just had a quick comment on the first caller. He was talking about, you know, feeling that he was lost in, you know, this time continuum in his future. I think that the story of Joseph really speaks to that whole issue with God's providence and how God used the evil of the brothers for the good of Joseph. And actually the good, you know, set the stage for the Exodus. And, you know, those brothers absolutely made the decision to throw him in the pit. And they weren't, you know, they weren't coerced in that, but you know, in the end, it worked out. I think that if you understand God's providence and how God uses the evil of the world for the glory, and, you know, God obviously knows our souls and our actions, but we still have the ability to make free choice.
Yeah, brilliantly put. Great insight.
So, I felt bad for the guy because he really struggling with that. But and I struggle with it too. But after I studied Joseph, I mean, it was, you know, We serve an amazing, wonderful God. How he weaves this whole thing together for His glory. So God bless your ministry, and thank you.
Thank you, Doug. And with that, we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Since we are in the Christmas season, do remember that we are offering a number of different resources, including the Heart of Christmas, which is a devotional for the season. You can find a copy on the web at equip.org. It makes a great gift. 25 Days to the Heart of Christmas. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember the resource of the month, Oz Guinness's Last Call for Liberty. It's a hardback book. It's absolutely fantastic. Available for those who support the ministry, equip.org. And again, thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You are making a difference all over the world, touching the lives of people not only for time, but also for eternity. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.